as we prepare ourselves for the Lord's Supper. Just want to be very practical this evening. I want to walk you through some Bible truths that will really, I think, help us all to understand and to do the will of the Lord. I want to speak to you tonight about the hardest words in all the world to say. Now, you could imagine, perhaps, some words that might be difficult to say. Perhaps you found yourself in a situation in your life where you had to have a difficult conversation with somebody, where you had to come out with something that wasn't easy to get out, it wasn't easy to say. But I think that in my own personal experience and in the counseling and interactions that I've had with others, probably the hardest words in all the world to say are something along these lines. I was wrong. I sinned. I am sorry. Please forgive me. And because those are difficult words for us to say, unfortunately, many times, they don't get said. So tonight I would like to just teach you some principles, some truths from God's Word, His Holy Bible, His Book Divine, on this issue of conflict resolution. How to get right and how to stay right, both with God and with other people. I have observed that many, even many believers, don't really understand how to resolve issues properly. And so the principle that I'd like to begin with this evening is this: sin divides, but grace unites. Now, just think about that. What is it that causes relationships to be rifted? What is it that does damage? What is it that drives people apart? What is it that separates people from God? It is sin. Sin is the separator. Sin is what separates the sinner from the Savior. Until a person comes by faith to Jesus Christ, we are separated from God in our sins. That's what it means to be dead in trespasses and sins. It means you're over here and God is over here and your sins are in between and you have no way, no capability to get to God. So sin separates. Sin does the same thing in human relationships. It drives people apart. It drives in wedges. It creates conflict, and it destroys the harmony that should exist between people. So sin divides. Sin will do a lot of damage. And so what is the solution? Okay, how do we become one again with those from whom we were once separated by sin? You know, some people think that, just sweep it under the rug and time cures all problems. Is that true? You know, just go on and eventually people will forget and it will go away and it'll be forgotten and I won't have to worry about it anymore. That is not the cure for the separation caused by sin. So some people just want to sweep it under the rug, pretend it didn't happen, go on with life. Some people think, well, I'll just, you know, time will just solve it, you know, and eventually it'll just go away and people forget and it'll be gone. No. There's only one thing that properly resolves the divisions caused by sin, and it's God's grace. What was it that brought you as a lost and separated sinner to God? It was God's grace. Okay, how did you get saved? You got saved by grace through faith. Amen? Okay, so before you were saved, you were alienated from God. You were in enmity with God, as the Bible says. You were far from God, and you weren't looking for God. There is none that seeketh after God, the Bible says. So God had to do it all, okay? And He came seeking and to save lost sinners like you. And He reached out to you in love, and He showed you His truth, and His Holy Spirit convicted your heart from the Word of God, and you realized your need of salvation. And by faith, you received Jesus Christ, and you became friends with God. And how was that? By God's grace. Think about some people in the Bible who accessed the grace of God to resolve the separation of sin. I think about a story that the Lord Jesus told about a Pharisee and a publican. They went down to the temple to pray. Remember that story? And the Pharisee was looking over at that sinning publican. Publicans were looked down on because they were tax collectors and they were corrupt and everybody knew it. Okay, so this man was a sinner, and the Pharisee looks over down his long super spiritual nose at the publican, and he's praying, "Lord, I'm so glad I'm not like that wicked sinner over there." And the Lord Jesus said, basically, his prayers were bouncing off the ceiling. But the publican was over there, and he was smiting his breast, and he was saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." And this man went down to his house justified. So how was it that he was justified? Because he was able to access the grace of God, crying out for God's mercy. I think about the story of the prodigal son. Remember the story of the prodigal son? The prodigal son was separated from his father by his sin. He went off into a far country, consumed his substance and riotous living. Then suddenly, one day when he was with the swine in the hog pen, the Bible says he came to himself. He came to his senses. He realized his sinful, wretched condition, and he longed to be reunited with his father again. And how was it that he was reunited with his father? He went home and he said, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." And that's all the father had to hear. And their relationship was restored. The Bible tells us how to access the grace of God. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with," what's the next word? "Humility. For God resisteth the proud." What is pride, by the way? It is a sin. It's a sin. Yeah? Okay, so what does pride do? It causes God to resist you. It causes God to have to put distance between Himself and you. It separates you from God. But God gives grace to the humble. So how is it that you access the grace of God to restore relationships, to resolve conflicts, to resolve issues? It is when you clothe yourself with humility. And you are able to go to that brother or that sister that has sinned against you or that you have sinned against, and you are able through humility to access the grace of God to resolve those sin issues and to reconcile that relationship the same way that you got saved. So tonight I want to share with you very practically what to do when sin separates. What to do when sin separates. And I have two scenarios the Bible describes. So here's scenario number one. Scenario number one is described here in Matthew chapter number 5, and it is the scenario in which I have sinned against someone else. Okay, so that could be a scenario that your sin is somehow messing up that relationship, is somehow separating you from that brother or that sister, and is putting distance between you, that it has created a rift, and it is your fault. What does Jesus say? Matthew chapter 5, look at verse number 23. Verse number 23. By the way, just before I read verse 23, in the context here, he's talking about the fact that sinful anger and hatred in the heart is a serious issue with God, okay? And so then in verse 23, he says, therefore, in other words, because of that, therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Okay, so the problem here is what? The problem in verse 23 is that your brother has something against you. That word ought, okay, O-U-G-H-T, ought. That word ought means something, okay? It could be anything. You know, as I meditate on that word, I realize that that's a pretty all-encompassing word. If you think that your brother has anything against you, it might be something big, it might be something relatively small, it might be something that you don't really feel like is a very big deal, it may be something that you don't want to acknowledge as a problem, but if you, in your heart, believe that your brother has something against you, you have a responsibility. How would you know it? Well, maybe in your heart you know that you did wrong. The Holy Spirit of God is convicting your heart. The Holy Spirit is saying to you, you know, you were not honest with that brother. You were angry with that brother. You said harsh or unkind words to that brother or whoever it is with whom you have sinned. It could be that the Spirit of God within is testifying, your conscience is testifying against you and saying, yeah, yes, you are the one who needs to get right. It could be that that brother has expressed it in some way. Okay, maybe that person has been hinting around or has expressed or verbalized, or you can tell because you know that person well by that person's body language that something is not right, that something has come between you and that person. You have a responsibility. So that's the problem. Now, look also at the position here that the Lord Jesus describes, the position of this person. All right, so here's a person. And he remembers that a brother has something against him. And where is he when he remembers this? It says that he is bringing his gift to the altar. Now, here the Lord Jesus is still here in the Old Testament dispensation. So this is before the church was established. This was when the people of God worshiped at the temple. And so here he is describing a worshiper who is bringing his offering to God. So this is a person who is coming to God to worship, who is coming to get close to God and to offer up something to God out of the free will of his heart. And the Lord Jesus says, if you're there at the temple and you're getting ready to come and to draw near to God in worship, and at that moment you remember or you realize, oh yes, there's a brother, somebody that has something against me. That's the position. Now, what is the proclamation? What does the Lord Jesus tell that person to do? He said, leave your gift at the altar, go be reconciled with your brother, and then come back and offer your gift. All right, let's think through it. What does that mean? That means, first of all, that God wants you to be right with other people before you draw near to Him in worship. Okay, so your sin may have been against some other person, but who ultimately is all sin against? Thank you, God. That's right. So God's involved here. And God says, you want to come and you want to bring an offering to me and you want to draw near to me and you want to worship me and you're not right with so-and-so over there? Don't come. Don't come until you've gone and you have dealt with that issue with that brother and you've made that sin right. And when you're right with that person, then come and draw near to me. And we'll have some sweet fellowship together. But until you resolve this issue horizontally over here, you have an issue over here vertically with me, God. All right, so that's the first thing we learn from that. God wants us to take care of our offenses, our sin issues with other people before we try to come to Him to worship. You know, in my experience, it is going to often be at that moment when you are seeking to draw near to God that God reminds you of that sin that you committed towards some other person. It's going to be that time when you sit down to read your Bible. That time when you're sitting in church. That time when you are seeking to pray. That's going to be when if you're serious about trying to get close to God, that's when the Holy Spirit who lives within you is going to remind you. Remember what happened? Remember what you said? You remember that sin that you've left on the books? You haven't gotten that resolved yet? That's the Holy Spirit saying, get that right now so that we can enjoy sweet fellowship together. You know, a lot of times what we try to do with God is say, oh, well, Lord, you know, I know that's not right, but I just don't want to talk about that today. Let's talk about all of the kinds of wonderful things and have some sweet fellowship together. And the Holy Spirit says, no, I want to talk about that. I want you to deal with that before we go on to talk about other things. If you're serious about getting close to the Lord, God's going to help you to remember these things, and then you have a responsibility. God has made His will clear, hasn't He? You sinned against somebody, that hasn't been properly resolved, go take care of it before you get close to me, before you spend time with me. And then number two, what else can we understand from that? We can understand God wants us to do this promptly. Not next week. Not next month, okay? Here's this person. He's bringing his gift to the altar. So that means he's bringing in his animal, and he's giving the animal to the priest, and the priest is getting ready to offer that animal, and suddenly he remembers that he sinned against so-and-so. Somebody has something against him, and he says, excuse me, Mr. Priest, would you mind just waiting here for a moment? Just don't go away. I'm going to leave my animal right here, and I'll be right back. And he goes out right then to find that person and get that matter right. Do you see the promptness involved there? God wants us to take care of our sin issues promptly. As soon as we bring, as they are brought to our mind or to our attention. All right, so what's the application? The application is, if you've caused hurt to somebody else, if you've done damage to somebody else, if your sin has caused an offense to somebody else, if someone is holding something against you, there is some issue that you created that has come between you and that other person, then you need to get it right. Specifically, you need to get it right before you come to the table of the Lord. Because this is a time we draw near to God. In worship, this is supposed to be a time of communion. You know what the word communion means? Fellowship. Who are we fellowshipping with? When we partake of the elements of the Lord's table, we're fellowshipping with one another, yes, as one body in Christ. But the reason that we have fellowship together is because we're all fellowshipping with the head of the body, who is Christ. So this is a time of fellowship. This is a time of oneness with the Lord Jesus. This is a time of worship. This is a time of drawing near to God. So if the Holy Spirit is pricking your heart, He's saying to you, remember that issue? And you haven't resolved that yet with that brother? Maybe on the way to church tonight, there were some harsh words that were spoken, and they came out of your mouth. Maybe the Spirit of God convicts your heart that you told a lie, an untruth. You've let it stand. You haven't resolved it. You haven't confessed it. You haven't made it right. But some lying, deceiving words came out of your mouth, and you've let that stand on the record with somebody else. I don't know. Maybe a member of your family. Maybe a fellow member of this church. Maybe somebody else that you know. But there is something that you have done, or somebody out there that has been separated from you because of your sin. Get it right away. That might mean That might mean that in the invitation time, that you should go to somebody else in this room and just have a few quiet words with that person. And say those words that are the hardest words in all the world to say. It might be the very best thing you could do would be to slip out of the auditorium and go and make a phone call to somebody and get that matter taken care of. That might be what needs to happen. You say, really? Seriously? Is that what really? Did we just read it here in the scripture? What does God say? He doesn't say, you take care of it after service. He said, while you're in the service, while you're in the act of worship, then you take care of it. So, I don't know, that'd be awfully embarrassing. What is God's will? If somebody, some brother out there has got something against you, get it right. Right now. How do you do that? How do you get something right with a brother in Christ when you realize that you've sinned against somebody? Well, the first thing you do is you humble yourself. See, as long as you can't get to that point, you're not going to get right, because pride is a sin and it's going to separate. And it's going to keep you from being right with others. It's going to keep you from being right with God. Pride is our worst enemy, folks. But if you can get to humility, if you can be humble enough to say, it's me. I'm the one who caused the problem. I'm the one who sinned the sin. I'm the one who created the offense. I am the one. If you can humble yourself, okay, that's the first step. Humble yourself to confess your sin to God and to that person that you sinned against. Number two, name your sin specifically. That's what it means to confess, by the way. No minimizing. You know, we'd like to do that, don't we? I mean, we sin some great big sin, and then we're convicted, and so we kind of, well, I'm really sorry for, you know, and we minimize what we did. So, what is confession? It is agreeing with God about our sin and calling it what God calls it. We don't really like to do that. You know, we might say, you know, well, I'm sorry for one thing, but we don't really confess all the sins that we committed that were involved in that scenario. So name the sin specifically and accept personal responsibility for your sin. Because one of the favorite things that we like to do is called blame shifting. Have you ever said this to somebody? Well, I'm sorry, but... You ever said that? I'm sorry, but is not an apology. I'm sorry, but is self-justification. I've done it, okay? Let's be honest here. I'm sorry, but that's not what we're talking about. And there's another one that's this doesn't count either. I'm sorry that you were offended. Somebody ever say that to you? You realize what you're doing if you say that? You're saying that it was their problem that they got offended at your sin. You know, so now the sin that you commit is really their fault because it bothered them. Your sin is their fault because it somehow it damaged the relationship when you were the one who sinned the sin. That's not humility. So accept personal responsibility for your sin. Seek forgiveness and restoration. And resolve the issue promptly. What does the Bible tell us to do? Ephesians 4, what wonderful advice. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Deal with sin issues today. Don't let the sun go down on an unresolved issue between you and a brother or sister in Christ. God is working on your heart. He's bringing something to your attention. You're convicted of a sin. You realize that you sinned the sin, that you are the one who has created the offense. Don't let the sun go down upon it. Get it right while today is today. All right, so that's scenario number one. I've sinned against someone else. Now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 18. Let's take a look at scenario number two. Scenario number two is when someone else has sinned against me. Someone else has sinned against me. Look at Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. All right, so what's the problem in this scenario? The problem in this scenario is that a brother has trespassed against you, okay? And the words here are trespass and fault. Those words refer to a sin, okay? And really, again, as I meditate on these words are more weighty than the word something that I read to you a moment ago from Matthew chapter number 5. And I think that that is, the Lord used the words He chose on purpose, okay? So in other words, if you think there's anything that you have done that might have put a rift between you and a brother, you have a responsibility to go and make sure you're right, okay? By the way, something is not a nothing, okay? And let me just explain this, because you can maybe even go too far. There are, you know, some of us are very introspective and we're always looking for our faults and imperfections. We all have lots of imperfections. Did you know that? Okay, and so what the Lord Jesus had in mind here is not that you are constantly going to someone and constantly apologizing for things that are not really issues, okay? Not trying to find issues where they don't really exist. That's not what the Lord is talking about. But the word something has that idea that maybe you're not sure what it is that has put a rift between you and a brother in Christ, and you have a responsibility to go make sure that there's not a problem. On the other hand, if someone has sinned against you, there are little things that we are supposed to overlook. Okay, the Bible says it is a glory of a man to pass over a transgression. So you don't have to go and confront people over every little something. And that's good news. But if somebody sins against you, if somebody has trespassed, if somebody has committed a fault, and the idea there is that now that person, because of their sin, they are really in your debt. Okay, because they have offended you. That doesn't mean they looked at you funny. That means they sinned a sin. And it's not a little thing that you can just, in love, cover a multitude of that and just, you know, overlook it. But it's something that's eating away at your heart. It's something that is troubling you. It's something that you are having a difficult time letting go of. If they have committed a sin or a fault or trespass against you, then what is the proper procedure? The proper procedure is go and tell that person his fault privately. Now notice what the Lord Jesus said. Number one, He did not say, wait for that person to come to you. Okay? He said, you go to that person. If it's bothering you, if it's troubling you, if there's something that that person has done that is creating a rift between you and that person, you go. Should they come to you? Yes, they should. Okay, I just read that to you, Matthew chapter 5. They should be coming to you, but you also have a responsibility to go to them. Notice how Jesus put a burden of responsibility on both people to take care of that sin issue. So you have to go to that person. You go, He says. The second thing is, don't tell other people about it first. Isn't that what we'd like to do? Somebody sins against you, somebody does something wrong, and it's bugging you, and you are offended. Boy, we love to tell other people. Why? Because it makes us feel good. We elicit sympathy. You wouldn't believe what so-and-so did. Oh, that's too bad. And it makes us feel better. Does it solve the problem? Does it reconcile the relationship? No, it does not. As a matter of fact, it just makes the problem bigger, because now you've brought other people into the issue. And so Jesus said, nope, you don't go and tell other people. You go and you tell that person privately their fault. You know what that means? That means you sit down with that brother, you lovingly look him in the eye, and you explain to that brother the sin that was committed that has put a rift in your relationship. One reason that sometimes issues are not really resolved properly between people is because we don't really do that. We don't really explain specifically what fault was committed. But that's what Jesus said to do. So don't wait for him to come. Don't tell other people first. Here's the application. If you believe that somebody has sinned against you and the issue remains unresolved, your responsibility is to lovingly initiate a discussion and name the sin that is damaging your relationship. There's two steps. Step number one, forgive in your heart. Forgive in your heart. That means that you release the debt of sin that that person owes to you and you put it in God's hands. Okay, look at what Jesus said in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. He said, "And when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses." Okay, so what did Jesus say? He said, you're praying, and suddenly it pops into your mind that brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they sinned against you. They are in your debt because of some sin that they have committed that is damaging your relationship. As soon as you bring that to mind, forgive. That means you release that debt in your heart. And in that prayer conversation you have with the Lord, you turn that over to the Lord. You give that person over to God lovingly. You know how we would like to pray for people that sin against us? You know, we'd like to ask God to rain down fire upon them, you know? Like the disciples, should we call down fire from heaven upon those people? No. Jesus said you pray for those that have despitefully used you. You're not praying for God's wrath. You're praying for God's blessings on that person. You're praying for God's mercies to be visited on that person. What you're really praying for is that person will properly repent and access the grace of God. But you're putting that in God's hands. You forgive. You do that right away. You do that unilaterally. You do that immediately. As soon as you remember that issue, that sin, that offense, you let it go. That's step one. And then step two is, if it's possible, you lovingly and humbly confront the offender, and you seek reconciliation. Now, Jesus told us in Matthew chapter 7 how to do this right and how to do it wrong. Okay, so he said, don't go to that person and try to pluck the mote out of their eye when you have a beam in your own eye. So don't go with a harsh, angry, judgmental spirit and try to tell them what sin they committed, because you're sinning. You're sinning by being angry and harsh and judgmental. You're not going to resolve any problems that way. You're just going to beat that person up with the beam that's coming out of your eye. You're going to make it worse. So you don't go that way. How is it that you will bring that relationship back together when you are also humble? And you can go humbly and lovingly, having already forgiven that person in your heart. You've forgiven them, but now you're going to seek reconciliation with that person. So you're humbly, lovingly confronting and saying, hey, we have a problem. You know, I just want you to know, there's something that's really been bothering me. When you said that the other day, it's been on my heart, it's troubling me. You know, I think that was wrong. It wasn't true, or it was hurtful, or you know, whatever the sin was. You're specific, you explain to them the problem, and you give them the opportunity to repent and to confess and to be reconciled with you. And I said, if it's possible, because sometimes it's not possible. I remember working with a lady one time who had been offended by a man who was now in his grave. She had been horribly sinned against by this man, and now he was dead. She couldn't go and get things right with him. She couldn't go and try to reconcile with him. She could only do step one, which she needed to do. She needed to let it go in her heart. But what did Jesus say in Luke chapter number 17? Look at this. This is step two, okay? Verses 3 and 4 of chapter 17. He said, "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him." Okay, so he sins against you. Your responsibility is to rebuke him humbly and lovingly. You say, "Hey, brother, that wasn't right. That was wrong, okay? We have an issue here." Rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. That's reconciliation. Okay, so you go to him, you rebuke him, you try to be reconciled with him, and if he repents and he confesses and he forsakes and gets right with you, then you forgive him in the sense that you fully restore the relationship. That the sin that once separated you is now out of the way, it is forgiven, and it is gone because it's been dealt with properly so that you can be now one with that brother again. I'll just wait until, there we go. I can't talk over it, brother. Okay, so that's what he said. And then verse 4, "And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him." You know, I've worked with people who sin repeatedly, okay, and they cause an offense, they do damage to a relationship, and repeatedly they are broken, they are repentant, and sometimes the person that they have offended runs out of patience. Maybe you found yourself in that position, you know? "Well, I forgave him the first time, and I forgave him the second time, and I forgave him the third time. But let me tell you what, buddy, three strikes and you are out." What did Jesus say? If he comes to the fourth time and he's broken and he's saying, "I have sinned, be merciful to me, the sinner who did damage to our relationship. Receive me again. I've sinned against heaven, against thee," like the prodigal son said, then forgive him again and again and again and again and again. I wonder how long it would take me to say that 490 times. But I think you get the point. And you say, "I just don't know that I can do that." Well, how many times do you want the Lord to forgive you? You want forgiveness again and again and again? I know I do. So Jesus said, "Well, what you want from God, you give to others." Now I realize that sometimes people play games. Sometimes people are not sincere. They're not really repentant. And we don't have time to get into all that this evening. But these are the principles upon which relationships are restored. It all depends upon humility. And that's what the Bible says, that we are all to be clothed with humility in our dealings with one another. What is the right way to approach it when somebody sins against us? Clothe ourselves in humility and go humbly in love to bring that issue to that person's attention and to seek reconciliation. That means you're going, already forgiving in your heart and longing to be restored. Or if you're the one who caused the problem, if you're the one who sinned the sin, then you go humbly and you say those words that are the hardest words in all the world to say. "I have sinned. I did wrong. Please forgive me." I want you to turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. A passage of Scripture I don't read every time that we partake of the Lord's Supper. I don't want it to become trite. But I want us to look at it this evening. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Apostle Paul here is talking to a church there were people in that church that God was chastening for their sin. Their sin was they were behaving unlovingly and selfishly toward one another in the body of Christ, and they were disrespecting the Lord's Supper. And so he instructed them the proper way to partake of the Lord's Supper, and he instructs us as well. And I'm going to start reading in verse 27. He says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." So what does that mean to partake unworthily? Well, what it doesn't mean is that any of us in and of ourselves are worthy. Okay? That's not the point. But to partake unworthily means to partake when you're regarding sin in your heart. When you know you're not right, when you know that there are offenses between you and other people, or you and God, and you have not properly resolved them. To partake of the Lord's Supper in that condition is to show disrespect to the broken body and the shed blood of Christ. And it is to invite the chastening hand of God upon yourself if you are truly saved. That's what these people were doing. And that's why God was chastening them. So he gives us a solemn warning. If you come to the table of the Lord not right, then you are going to be held accountable of an additional sin of disrespecting the body and blood of the Lord. Okay? All right, so let me just explain that. All right? Let's say you lied and you haven't made it right. You told a lie. You let it stand. It's on the record. You haven't resolved it. Mark it down. God knows you're not right with God. And if you just want to sweep it under the rug and you want to come and partake of this, of the Lord's Supper, not only, number one, you have that lie that's unresolved, now, sin number two, you've disrespected the work of the Lord Jesus. Because the Lord Jesus died on the cross for your sins. The Lord Jesus suffered for your sins. So sin should never be a matter of flippancy to us. It should never be something that we just want to tolerate in our lives, something that we are okay with, because it nailed the Lord Jesus to the cross. So what does he say to do? Verse 28. "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." What does that mean? Does that mean that if you're saved and you partake unworthily, that now you're going to hell? No, the word damnation there does not mean perdition in hell. It means the additional condemnation of sinning another sin. Okay, so if you eat and drink unworthily, rather than coming to God in fellowship, you have now invited additional condemnation of a new sin upon yourself that the Lord is not going to sweep under the rug and he's not going to overlook. That's why he says to them in verse 30, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." Okay, so this is what God had been doing in the Corinthian church. And they apparently didn't even realize what was going on. But some of them were sick because they were disrespecting the Lord's Supper. And some of them had fallen asleep. That means they had died. That's a word that's used to describe the physical death of the believer. They had fallen asleep. God had taken them home early because they were disrespecting the Lord's table. So what are we supposed to do? Verse 31, "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged." That means that if we'll simply practice biblical confession of sin, if we'll repent and confess and forsake our sin, the Lord won't have to deal with us by chastening us. He won't have to pass judgment on us in chastening if we deal with our own sin through confessing, through making it right with himself and with others. So, if we will judge ourselves, we should not be judged. That's why you're supposed to examine yourself. You're supposed to examine yourself to let the Spirit of God make it very clear to you if there is an issue in your life that should prevent you from coming in fellowship to the Lord's table. And if so, get it right before you come. That's what God says to do. Verse 32 says, "But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." The good news is that even the chastening hand of God in the life of a believer, although it is unpleasant, it is a blessing, because it shows that you are one of His. He chastens you, but you're not condemned with the world. All right, so that's what the Lord says to us. And that's a sobering admonition. And it should be sobering. What is the right approach? Is the right approach to say, well, then I just don't think I'll ever take communion again as long as I live, because I just don't want to run any risk here of inviting the chastening hand of the Lord upon my life? No, that's not the right thing. That's not the right answer. You just take some time in a moment here when we have some quiet time. You take that time. And you just ask the Lord to make it very clear to you if there's something in your life that is displeasing to Him. The psalmist said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." The psalmist did not write, "Search me, O me." Okay? Let the Lord search your heart in His Word, and bring those issues to your mind that need to be dealt with, and then draw near in sweet fellowship with the Lord. And praise God that He is a God of compassion and mercy, who is pitiful. He remembers our weakness. He knows that we are but dust. And He has a heart of love and compassion for His people. And He invites us to partake in sweet fellowship with Him. So that's what we do. Biblical conflict resolution is a part of the proper preparation for the Lord's Supper. So based upon what we talked about tonight, number one, if you have unresolved sin with the Lord, you should repent, confess, forsake. Get it right. Practice 1 John 1:9. If you've sinned against someone else and the sin remains unresolved, get it resolved before you draw near to God in worship. And if somebody else has sinned against you, you know what? It may not be possible for you to resolve that matter completely right away. In fact, it may not be possible for you to resolve that matter completely ever, because full resolution and reconciliation does depend also to some degree on the other person. I mean, you can do everything in your power to be right with that person, but that person also has to want to be right with you. But at the very least, you should purpose to pursue the right process. And you need to practice step one. You need to forgive from your heart right away. Let's bow our heads, shall we? In a moment, the piano is going to play "Have Thine Own Way." In fact, I want the piano just to start playing as soon as we're ready. Just go ahead and start playing "Have Thine Own Way, Lord," because that's our invitation for tonight. I have no idea what needs to happen this evening, how the Lord has been speaking to your heart through His Word, but would you just take some time to do what Paul said, examine yourself. If God is convicting your heart of an area where you're not right with Himself or other people, will you deal with it the right way? Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. God speak in your heart, and you want to come and just spend some time here in prayer, then you're invited to come. If you need to have a conversation with somebody else that's here tonight in church, this would be a good time for you to do that. Just slip out, just go to that person, just whisper in that person's ear what you need to share. Maybe a husband with a wife, maybe a wife with her husband, child with parents, parent with child. One of the marks of true revival The Bible says, as the hearts of the fathers are turned toward their children and the children toward their fathers. Maybe you just need to slip out right now and go out and make a phone call. Get something right with somebody.